Penguin Random House Audio presents The Power of Giving Away Power, How the Best Leaders Learn to Let Go. This is the author, Matthew Barzin. Though analogy is often misleading, it is the least misleading thing we have. Samuel Butler. A letter from Simon Sinek. The vision is clear. To build a world in which the vast majority of people wake up every single morning inspired, feel safe wherever they are, and end the day fulfilled by the work that they do. The only way to build this world is if we work together. But there's a problem. Over the past few decades, our society has over-indexed on rugged individualism. Images of the lone cowboy in a Marlboro commercial became an ideal to strive for. We emulated the big personality leaders who presented an image of the strong man, the genius in the room. As the high-performing individual became the standard, company structures transformed to feed the beast. They adapted their incentive and reward systems to recognize individual performance almost exclusively. Ethics, teamwork, and leadership qualities seemed to fall to the wayside when we evaluated people for promotion. Even our business schools became complicit. Over the years, they adapted their curricula to serve the market rather than teach leadership as it should be taught. However, if it's long-term results, stability, or innovation we're hoping to achieve, this model of leadership simply doesn't work. The unfortunate irony is, the opposite model doesn't work either. Consensus building, leaderless organizations, tribal leadership, even the much-touted bottom-up approach, all suffer complications in their own ways. The good news is, there is another option. This is where the power of giving away power comes in. Matthew Barzin has spent decades figuring out where big ideas come from. Once he learned the concept of giving away power, he applied it to his own career, and it worked. Matthew's ideas played a significant role in helping CNET grow into a powerhouse media platform. Challenging the traditional way money was raised for political campaigns, Matthew pioneered a small-dollar, big-event fundraising platform that helped Senator Barack Obama significantly outpace Hillary Clinton's efforts with $5 and $10 donations. And as United States Ambassador to the United Kingdom, Matthew practiced giving away power in a way the ambassadors just didn't do. The ideas that were generated as a result were astounding. I had the opportunity to meet Matthew during the time he was the ambassador to Britain. I was astonished by his thinking. Whenever we would have occasion to talk, I would scramble to find a pen and paper so I could take notes on everything he said. This was why I asked Matthew to write a book for Optimism Press. The way he helps us better understand how the world works, how power works, can help move us closer to that vision, a world in which we feel inspired, safe, and fulfilled in our lives and our careers. Give power and inspire on. Simon Sinek. Introduction. Pretending is exhausting. So it's surprising how many of us get up every day and do exactly that under the banner of leadership. Pretending that we know the precise destination. What steps in what order are required to get there. And how any unexpected obstacles can be cleared away as we drive toward an inevitably successful outcome. All the while projecting supreme confidence. Around the year 2000, organizations of all kinds, from Rhode Island's Historical Society to the multinational conglomerate Siemens, churned out strategic planning reports for the decades ahead called Vision 2020. The number proved an irresistible temptation to pretend we could see with perfect 2020 vision into the future for our companies, communities, and countries. The glossy report spelled out confidently what could be expected in 2020 and what to do to seize the coming opportunities. In 2018, with just 2 years to go, Harvard Business School published a guide asking, "Is your Vision 2020 leadership development strategy on the path to success?" Then that year arrived with a vengeance as if to say, "Oh yeah?" In our hearts, we know how scarce certainty is. Even the ultimate leadership guru Peter Drucker, who first found fame advocating management by objective, admitted that leaders know their true objective only 10% of the time at best. Still, we hold on tightly to the theater of pretending and predicting. Why? We do it because there is something we dislike even more than the exhaustion of pretending. Much more. We hate the anxiety of uncertainty. Pretending is the price we pay to remove it. So we comfort ourselves with orderly org charts, working backward from a preset destination, factoring out what we can't measure, tasking team members using key performance indicators, monitoring it all with dashboards, turning and tuning the dials as if running a machine. It is our way of self-soothing by exerting control and power over whatever and whomever we can. We think we must hoard power before someone else takes it, and that we must lord it over others. We've come not only to value the consolidation and preservation of power as the best kind of leadership, we've come to believe it's the only kind, that it is leadership. How crazy! All we have to do is look around to see that there are different kinds of leaders who've adopted a very different mindset about uncertainty. They don't try to ignore it, avoid it, or factor it out. They factor it in, radically. They do this not by hoarding and lording power, but by doing the opposite, by giving it away. In this way, they turn the anxiety of uncertainty into the energy that drives diverse groups of people to build unbelievably big things together. In my 25 years of working across three different fields, dot-com startups, President Obama's campaigns, and international diplomacy, I've been a witness to great leaders who hold this mindset. They share a particular way of seeing, thinking, feeling, and behaving with the people around them. I have tried to practice this mindset, one that we are all capable of, and one that I am certain the world needs more of these days. I saw this mindset at work up close in 2008. Barack Obama's campaign against Hillary Clinton for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination had reached a critical juncture. Obama won the first contest in Iowa in an upset, but lost the next one in New Hampshire. Pundits pounced. Barack and Michelle had camped out in Iowa for nearly a year and had deployed a huge chunk of their campaign staff there. Anyone can pull an upset in one state with a lot of focus and a little luck. But now the Clinton machine would surely kick into gear and normal political logic would take over. In the course of nearly a decade, the Clinton team had locked up the key endorsements in each state, and now each of these state power brokers would, in turn, release their loyal legions of get-out-the-vote foot soldiers. How could the Obama campaign possibly match the proven math of that political pyramid? Two young Obama staffers pitched a radical solution to the campaign leadership in Chicago that went against decades of modern campaign orthodoxy. They had been sent to states with almost no paid staff and had been noticing the same thing. Delegating work and responsibilities to unknown, unpaid, untrained volunteers was not generating the normal headaches. In fact, just the opposite. Giving away work and responsibility led to more volunteers showing up and asking for more work and responsibility. It kept growing. What if we treated these volunteers more like paid staff? But here was the most radical part. What if we even gave them access to the voter file? This is the campaign's preciously guarded data bank of possible voters, where they live, how likely they are to vote for you. The campaign leadership said no. There would be spies from rival campaigns. The state power brokers working on behalf of the Clinton campaign would certainly scoop up the data, essentially stealing our playbook. The staffers persisted. They admitted that their plan couldn't prevent that, but made the case that a growing universe of committed and empowered people would be worth a lot more than any potential downside from data stealing. If they didn't open up the campaign, they would definitely have to turn people away. There was simply no other way of unleashing the energy and letting the campaign grow. The campaign leaders had seen these young staffers work miracles already. They decided to place their faith in them and their way of thinking. Okay, Go.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?